The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome. We made it to the weekend. It is Friday, August 2nd, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us today. We have a great show planned for you. First, we're going to take a look at some more patient stories from the River Rock TV channel. I got to meet a lot of these patients while I was down there, and I think the testimonials of patients are so important in helping people understand medical marijuana and the policies surrounding it. So at half past, we'll play some videos from patient stories at River Rock TV, including a former professional football player. Kind of get us in the mood for the upcoming football season. Also on today's show, got time for a radical rant at the end, and it's one I've just published on my blog at the National Cannabis Coalition. You can find them at ncc420.com, and thank you so much for NCC sponsoring my writing. Today's blog is entitled, "While Illinois Makes Medical Marijuana More Strict, Uruguay Pushes Legalization." So we'll talk about the differences between North American and South American drug policy and how South America doesn't really have medical marijuana, and yet still they're passing legalization and decriminalization. We'll tell you how when we get to the radical rant. Also, in behind the headlines today, very interesting news coming out of Britain in the results of their further criminalizing cannabis. Back in 2004, it was reduced to a Class C drug. In 2009, it was raised back up to a Class B drug. We'll show you how that backfired, at least according to the reasoning of the then Home Secretary, Jackie Smith. We got Herb Thrasher calling in for our Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tunes, and Herb told me today we needed to do a tune from the Grateful Dead, since yesterday was Jerry's birthday, apparently, and he's doing something with Mickey Hart. We'll ask him about that, what's going on with Mickey Hart here in Portland. So we are pulling out from the archive.org live music archives a tune that was played and recorded exactly 37 years ago, August 2nd, 1976. It's an old Woody Guthrie classic, so stay tuned for that. But first, we've got to get to our 420 radio news, and in the news today, we've got headlines coming from the White House, where drug czar Gil Kerlikowske is on his way out. This is some breaking news. Charges in California for kidnapping that are pretty heinous. We talked about it an hour or two yesterday. The head of the Liberal Party in Canada coming out for legalization. The DEA targeting dispensaries in Washington, and public use in Denver. Stick around, it's a lot to cover. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, August 2nd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Obama taps drug czar Kerlikowske to head Customs and Border Protection from thecrimereport.org. White House drug czar Gil Kerlikowske today was nominated by President Obama to be director of the Customs and Border Protection Agency in the Department of Homeland Security. The White House didn't immediately say who would succeed Kerlikowske, whose formal title is Director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Kerlikowske, 63, is a former police chief in four cities, most recently Seattle. Kerlikowske contends that the new federal emphasis on drug treatment rather than enforcement finally is taking hold in the fifth year of the Obama presidency. California men plead not guilty to marijuana charges from Boston.com. Two Northern California men accused of sexually abusing a teen runaway and keeping her in a metal box on their marijuana farm pleaded not guilty on Friday to federal drug charges. Federal prosecutors have charged Ryan Belletto, age 30, and Patrick Piermain, age 25, with growing more than 1,000 marijuana plants on a remote Lake County farm. Both men are also charged with coercing a 15-year-old runaway to help with their alleged operation. Belletto denied the charges, even though federal prosecutors allege in court documents filed Wednesday that he confessed. The girl told investigators she was locked in a 4x2x2-foot box. Holes had been drilled in the box and water was run through it to wash her without letting her out, the complaint said. Prosecutors described Belletto as an ex-Marine who was preparing for an extended battle. Prosecutors wrote, quote, the presence of so many weapons on the grow site, including two assault rifles and 11 loaded 20 and 30 round magazines, indicate that Belletto was prepared to engage in an extended gun battle. Justin Trudeau, Canada's Liberal Party leader, announces support for marijuana legalization, from Huffington Post. The leader of one of Canada's major political parties has come out publicly in favor of marijuana legalization. Justin Trudeau, the leader of Canada's Liberal Party, made the comment at a rally in British Columbia on July 23rd. Trudeau said, quote, I'm actually not in favor of decriminalizing cannabis. I'm in favor of legalizing it, end quote, after seeing a sign supporting decriminalization. Trudeau continued, quote, tax and regulate. It's one of the only ways to keep it out of the hands of our kids because the current war on drugs isn't working, end quote. The National Post reports that marijuana legalization has been part of the Liberal Party's platform since January, but Trudeau had previously only endorsed decriminalization. Trudeau announced his new position at a rally in Kelowna, British Columbia. According to a 2006 study by the University of Victoria, over half of British Columbians have tried pot and only 42% believe it should be illegal. An Angus Reid poll in late 2012 found that 57% of Canadians support legalizing marijuana. DEA targets pot dispensaries that won't close, from Seattle Post-Intelligencer. Federal agents have again raided Seattle area chain of marijuana dispensaries following allegations they violate federal and state law. More than a year after the DEA attempted to shutter the businesses, agents have again raided the Seattle Cross, Three Sister dispensaries, and other locations associated with the chain. In court documents unsealed following the July 24th raids, investigators contend the dispensaries continue to hide profits from the state while illicitly selling marijuana. DEA agents appear to have seized patient files, as well as marijuana and cash from the dispensaries. The November 2011 raids saw federal agents seize more than $128,000 from four dispensaries and their two owners. Agents also confiscated several pounds of marijuana, more than 110 plants, and various pot-laced snacks. Public marijuana use is illegal but seldom punished in Denver, from the Denver Post. Denver police have written more tickets for public marijuana use so far this year than in all of 2012, but the crime is rarely punished, according to new statistics from the city. Though Colorado voters in November legalized marijuana use by adults, consuming marijuana in public remains illegal under both state law and Denver municipal ordinance. It brings a $100 fine under the state law. According to figures provided by the Denver Department of Safety, police in the city wrote just 20 tickets for public marijuana consumption during the first half of 2013. 15 of those tickets came in May and June. Officers wrote only 8 tickets in all of 2012, all but one of those pre-legalization. Public marijuana smoking, especially downtown, wasn't rare before legalization, though. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, August 2nd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at Britain's decriminalization to Class C and recriminalization to Class B for cannabis, and what effect that had on cannabis psychosis admissions in UK hospitals. The result is quite surprising to those who called for Class B. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Marijuana is harmless. That's what everybody says these days. It's fun. It's recreational. Some even call it medicine. But every year, millions of young people find out that marijuana is extremely dangerous. Every year, they find out that it's deadly. Marijuana smoke is lethal and toxic. Don't believe anything you've ever heard positive about smoking marijuana. It will kill you. Really. It's really gonna kill you. Don't smoke it. It will really, really kill you. Seriously. It's gonna kill you.
Paid for by the We're Not Even Trying Anymore, We Made It All Up Anti-Drug Whatever Thing of America.
This is Brian the Red, and you're listening to 420radio.org. So get a little fiery.
Hey, sit back, relax, and have a puff or two. Cause all we really trying to do is get high with you. That's just how we do. Sit back, relax, and have a puff or two.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. It's 14 after, and today I saw an interesting headline coming out of the UK media regarding cannabis psychosis. This is something they talk about a lot in the UK and Britain. Their tabloid papers go all off the deep end about cannabis psychosis and the deadly skunk. The marijuana that's so, you know, 50 times more potent, I guess, that's so potent it causes people to go psychotic and kill their mom and do terrible, terrible things, right? So this is something they talk about a lot in Britain, this cannabis psychosis, this idea that super potent marijuana makes you crazy, makes you violent, makes you lose your mind. All right, so the story coming out of Britain today, and this comes from The Guardian in the UK, that says, cannabis psychosis admissions rose in England after drug reclassified to Class B. Now, this requires us to understand a little bit about how the British drug classification system works. Cannabis was first controlled in Britain. It became a controlled drug in 1925. Yeah, a full 12 years before the federal government in the United States banned cannabis with the Cannabis with the Marijuana Tax Act, Britain had already made it a controlled substance in 1925. The legislation was rationalized in 1971 when the Misuse of Drugs Act was passed. And you can analogize this to about in America when we passed the Controlled Substances Act, which is roughly the same time, 1970, 1971. It's kind of just following a international pattern at that time to come up with these strict regulations for drugs. So Britain passed the Misuse of Drugs Act and put cannabis initially in Class B. Now, in the United States, we have five schedules, Schedule 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And Schedule 1 drugs are the ones that are completely dangerous, there's no safe use, and there's no medical use whatsoever. You know, like LSD and heroin and mushrooms and marijuana, right? They're all no medical use whatsoever, extremely dangerous drugs, right? Well, in Britain, they don't have five, they got three. They got Class A, Class B, Class C. Their Class A drugs are your, you know, the real strong ones, the heroin and such. Class C drugs are the ones that are less likely to be abused, right? So in this tiered system, A, B, and C, cannabis in 1971 was originally put in Class B, and, you know, fairly dangerous drug that would have, you know, we'd have severe penalties if you're caught with it, right? But in January of 2004, Britain reclassified cannabis to the lowest category, put it down in Class C. David Blunkett was in charge, or Blunkett, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but he was in charge at that time and stated that the change would protect the credibility of drug education as the classes would more adequately reflect actual harms. Scientists looked at the actual harms of cannabis and decided it should be classified lower because it wasn't that bad. And the government actually did it. It was amazing. And remember, this is 2004, where we're one term into George W. Bush. Reefer madness is at an all-time high. They're busting dispensaries in America. Meanwhile, Britain is dropping it from Class B to Class C in 2004. Well, when that happened, the British media went nuts. This is when the whole skunk psychosis thing started really getting legs in the UK. And by 2009, there was a new Home Secretary. Her name was Jackie Smith. And she was getting all these reports about the stronger strains of cannabis causing psychosis. And the government twice asked the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs. They've actually got a scientific panel to advise this. And despite the board saying, well, no, it should stay Class C. Really, this kind of cannabis psychosis thing is a bunch of bullocks, let's say. Still, Jackie Smith raised it from Class C to Class B back in 2009. Well, here is what we found as the result of that. And one of her main justifications for raising it to Class B was, oh, the psychosis, the skunk. Oh, my God, we lowered it to Class C, and all these people are doing the skunk now. And, oh, my God, now their psychosis is rampant. Well, here's the actual results. Research has suggested that the number of hospital admissions for psychosis caused by cannabis use started to decline after its classification was lowered to Class C, but started to increase again after it went back up to a Class B drug. It's like Lively Lieber said in the chat room, part of what leads to cannabis psychosis is the threat of doing serious prison time for having cannabis. So they lowered it to Class C. They had less cannabis psychosis. They raised it to Class B. It went back up again. But overall, during the entire period investigated, 2001 to 2010, cannabis use declined in the country. And general diagnoses for psychosis decreased. And the important thing to note also is that we're talking about decreases here. We're talking about people being admitted to the hospital on the range of 40 to 100 per month in the entirety of England. So this just gives lie to this idea that cannabis is causing psychosis. It is prohibition that is causing paranoia. Lower it back to class C, just like your ministers said that you should, and get the results that you got, a lowering in these problems. It seems rather simple.
To us enlightened folk.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have Herb Thrasher on the line for a Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor.
I am not a stoner. I am nothing you've heard. I'm you. We may not be happy with the world that we live in. Politicians who believe in criminalization, making deals with big pharma, and trading big money behind the scenes is not a way to stay in office. I will go to bat for you. I will go to Burning Man and smoke my brains out. I'm Terry Joyce. And I approve this message. I'm you!
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, time for some Rockin' Friday music, and I can't believe that I've been doing this for, oh, I don't know, 4 years or so, and have never played a Grateful Dead tune. I can't think.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too, man, that we haven't played enough Grateful Dead.
Yeah, and one of the nice things about the Dead, and there's a ton of musicians that are out there doing this now, that allow their fans to tape their shows so long as they make the tapes freely available and they share them. I mean, the Grateful Dead kind of pioneered this concept, but if you go out to archive.org and look at their live music archives, there are hundreds of bands and thousands of shows to pick from out there. It's really cool.
And it's not just Grateful Dead, as you mentioned. I mean, there's some Primus shows on there. Les Claypool, his other separate band. I mean, he's real into the jam band scene. So it is more geared to the jam band kind of bluegrassy festival kind of scene, but as Russ mentioned, dude, there is tons of stuff out there, and yeah, I totally recommend you guys going out there and checking it out too.
All right, so you got to tell folks why you had me go look up a Grateful Dead tune for today.
Well, aside from the fact that we don't play enough Grateful Dead on 420 Radio and the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, because we definitely should be. They, as Russ May, he used the word pioneered, and they just pioneered so much in the music industry, period. And they are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But Jerry Garcia, guitarist, hopefully everyone has heard of Jerry Garcia. And from San Francisco, these guys were amazing. And his birthday was yesterday. He was actually born on August 1st in 1942 in San Francisco. And so Jerry's, you know, remembrance will live on forever in not only the music scene, but maybe the countercultural scene and just playing, period. But also tonight, Herb Thrasher Flower, myself and Ico, the Mickey Hart Band is in town, oh. And he was the drummer of the Grateful Dead for two different stints, from an early period in the early 70s, and then he picked back up with them, I'm going to guess, early 80s, and played all the way till 95 with them. So Mickey Hart is in town. We're going to go down to the Roseland Ballroom and interview somebody from the band. We're not sure who yet. Pretty sure it's not going to be Mickey Hart. He has a signing at a record store, a local record store, Music Millennium here. So, but we're going to go down there and check it out. And so, you know, with Jerry Garcia and Mickey Hart and, you know, Bob Weir has been playing with Slightly Stupid, who we play a lot. So it just seems like it was a great time to bring Grateful Dead song on.
All right.
So we chose, well, Russ chose, Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, which is from a live show in 1976. So really looking forward to this version. You know, as the Grateful Dead, they had so many different live shows, and that's what they did, was just they played on the spurt. They just decided right then, and so every song has basically always been different.
Yeah, this is Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, the Woody Guthrie classic, recorded exactly 37 years ago, August 2nd, 1976. Thanks, Herb. We'll talk to you again tonight on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, right?
Cheers, guys. We'll be there.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the...
For our cannabis community chat today, we turn things over to the folks at River Rock TV who have some excellent patient stories. We'll continue to bring you these as they become available.
I'm 57 years old. I was born and raised in Denver. Been here all my life. I've been suffering from the neuropathy for a couple of years now, and I've been on medical marijuana for about a year.
I've had cancers of the uterus prior to this. I've had to change doctors because they were really putting me down because of the medical marijuana use, and I felt real discriminated and treated badly when I went to the doctor behind the fact that I did use the medical marijuana.
It provides relief without severe side effects.
River Rock has rolled out a red carpet, an invisible red carpet for me. They're very warm and welcoming.
They just have a way of doing business with people where you get the sensation when you talk to them and meet with them that they really do care about you.
I'm Carlene, and this is my husband, Gary. Gary has stage 3 colon cancer and refused to go through chemotherapy because he's been through it before and knows the damage it can do. So to make a long story short, he did some research and found out that cannabis had a good track record for taking care of the cancer and getting rid of it. So we found our way to River Rock, and we started Gary on the cannabis treatment for cancer. He was on it for 90 days, and at this point, he feels better now than he's felt in 10 years. He had a skin cancer on his head. We put the cannabis oil on the skin cancer, and in about 2.5 weeks, it fell completely off. I was just amazed. I was so excited for him that it was just pure, wonderful skin underneath once it came off. He also had swollen ankles. They were black, blue, purple. His ankles, his feet, the calves of his legs were swollen. His legs and feet and the black and blue that he had were there for 10 years. And one day I looked down and I saw his ankles and I was like so excited that it was gone. And I said, Gary, have you noticed your ankles? And he said, no. And I said, well, look, it's gone. We were just thrilled. We couldn't believe it. We didn't take before pictures because we weren't expecting that to happen. And so what I'm trying to say is that we have physical proof that the cannabis oil is helping him. He feels so much better now. We're sure that this is curing his cancer. We'll have the proof very soon. That's all I know to say. It's wonderful. I think everybody should think about trying the cannabis oil when they have a problem such as this and not be afraid of it. It's not going to hurt you. The best that it's going to do for you is help you, and it might cause you not to have to go through chemotherapy, which chemotherapy kills. You may survive the cancer, it may kill the cancer, but it's going to kill the good things along with the bad and leave you with possible neuropathy, possible loss of vision and hearing. There's so many things that it hurts as well as helps. And then 10 years later, you could be looking at having cancer again. I would encourage everybody to try the cannabis and not be afraid to try it.
My name's Wade, and I was involved in an accident on November 11, 1999. That broke my leg, gave me abdominal bleeding. During the surgery on me for the abdominal bleeding, I took 7 pints of blood, had 6 strokes, left me unable to hear in the right ear, a lot of paralysis and nerve damage on the right side. After 3 years of going to different doctors and stuff, I went on medical marijuana and it relieved my pain and stuff. I smoked for several years and then I started to get movement back and stuff. So I went to a higher concentrates, the earwax rock butter is what I settled on. And in the last several months, I'm getting more and more movement back in my right side. I've found in the last 3 months since I've started using rock butter, I had paralysis in my hands from the stroke, and now I've got full movement in my hands, and I can pick up, I can touch things. Yeah. I can even give a peace sign. Yeah, I'm really excited about continuing to use cannabis for all my treatments, especially I'm really excited about rock butter and stuff. It's helping out my paralysis so much. I am really happy to be working with River Rock and helping them help with everything. They have really been helping me out a bunch.
You get more of these patient testimonials at riverrockcolorado.com. Our thanks to the folks there at River Rock for doing those great videos. You know, like I said, the patient testimonials are very important. It helps people understand that this is a serious issue and that these people, you know, need this cannabis medicine. So when we come back, we will have time for a radical rant. I'm going to compare North America and its reliance on medical marijuana versus South America and its reliance on decriminalization.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal stands for responsible adult cannabis use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. I said some silly.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Illinois Governor Pat Quinn finally got around to signing the medical marijuana bill to make the state of Illinois the 20th state to provide some measure of protection for seriously ill people who choose to use cannabis. Well, some people who are seriously ill. While the standard cancer, HIV, AIDS, and glaucoma conditions are covered in Illinois, as they are in almost every other medical marijuana state, Vermont doesn't cover glaucoma, believe it or not, you're not going to find the catch-all severe pain or severe nausea in the Illinois law. If you're a patient in pain, it had better be complex regional pain syndromes type 1 or complex regional pain syndromes type 2. No mere migraines or chronic back pain are going to qualify. Simply protecting spastic disorders won't happen. You'd better specifically have multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, or Tourette's. If you've found that cannabis alleviates your seizure disorder, I guess you're out of luck, since none of them, including epilepsy, appear to be on the Illinois list. And if your illness is mental, such as a returning soldier or a rape victim, which unfortunately is becoming too redundant, if you're returning with post-traumatic stress disorder, your use of cannabis still earns you arrest and a jail cell in Illinois. Why all the restrictions? To prevent healthy people from using cannabis. Folks with migraines, chronic pain, epilepsy, PTSD, and such must risk imprisonment for using medical marijuana because in other medical marijuana states, there are too many patients using medical marijuana. Only with cannabis do we consider the number of patients achieving positive results with a drug treatment to be a total in need of limiting. Nobody ever stops to ask whether 26 million Americans using Lipitor is too many. See, in California, where medical marijuana started, a doctor can recommend medical marijuana to a patient for any other illness for which marijuana provides relief. Imagine doctors freed to make medical decisions considering only their patient. Well, but that led to sign-twirling bikini girls hawking medical marijuana recommendations on Venice Beach for healthy young skateboarders with anxiety. So the next states came up with a list of conditions that were eligible for medical cannabis treatment, taking the discretion away from doctors and codifying it into law. Only with cannabis are doctors mandated to use a medicine only for specific conditions. Did you know 1 out of 5 prescriptions written today is for so-called off-label use? That's where a doctor gives you a drug for your condition that is FDA approved for a different condition. For example, beta blockers that the FDA approved for high blood pressure are often prescribed to alleviate migraine headaches. Yet still, some healthy people managed to get their hands on medical marijuana, or so the naysayers believed. In Oregon, law enforcement railed against the ever-rising total of registered patients, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000. And at each reporting of statistics, they would claim the thousands registered must be indicative of abuse of medical marijuana. Why, look at all the people registered for chronic pain! Never mind the fact that 26% of Americans report chronic pain that has lasted longer than 24 hours, and 42% of them say that's been the case for longer than a year. So the latest medical marijuana states, Illinois being the exemplar, have whittled down and redefined their qualifying condition list to make sure patients can't get a card with some vaguely defined syndrome. However, that's not the only way in which Illinois has the strictest medical marijuana law. Illinois is now the 9th medical marijuana state in a row to forbid a patient from cultivating his or her own cannabis plants. This, too, stems from what are perceived to be abuses in Western medical marijuana states. California famously allows doctors to recommend any number of plants and any amount of possessed cannabis their patient requires, though 6 plants and 8 ounces is considered to be the floor below which cannabis is presumed to be for medical use. Oregon and Washington allow possession of 1.5 pounds and over 12 plants. Colorado allows for industrial-sized cultivation for its dispensaries. From all of these states, law enforcement claims growers divert plentiful, cheap Western medical marijuana to recreational marijuana consumers back east. So, since Arizona in 2010, medical marijuana laws that have passed maintain all production and distribution of medical marijuana in a tightly controlled, heavily surveilled dispensary system, whereby taxation, rule, and market forces, the prices of medical cannabis equal or sometimes exceed the prices on the local streets. The third way in which medical marijuana laws like Illinois' are further restricting access is through the requirement of a bona fide relationship with the doctor. Now, this may sound obvious to the average person. Of course you have to have a physician-patient relationship. Until you understand how medical cannabis works in the real world. People who want to use medical cannabis fall into 2 camps, those who've been using it already and those who haven't. So for the current users, they have often been using cannabis in lieu of seeing a physician. But when they go to get legal, they can't without the signature of a doctor and, in most states, a pile of medical records documenting their qualifying condition. So some of them go to a regular doctor to get examinations to prove they have the condition they've been using marijuana to treat. Under some of these newest medical marijuana laws, however, a doctor-patient relationship isn't bona fide without fulfilling certain length of time requirements. And then for the non-users, many of them have been seeing a regular doctor for some time, so fulfilling the bona fide requirement isn't the problem. Their regular doctor is. Most physicians who'd like to recommend medical cannabis are prevented from doing so by their insurance, their contract with a hospital or the government, their clinic's policies, or merely the personal fear of being labeled a pot doc. So, in many medical marijuana states, patients gather their medical records from their regular doctor and take them to a specialty medical marijuana clinic where a pot doc will confirm the qualifying condition and sign the recommendation. That most certainly is not a bona fide doctor-patient relationship under the newest medical marijuana laws like Illinois'. Meanwhile, in Latin America, the lower house in Uruguay's government just voted to legalize not just marijuana possession, but cultivation, selling, and buying marijuana. For healthy people! The upper house has more than enough support to pass it, and the president has vowed to sign legalization into law, despite the fact that a supermajority of Uruguay's citizens do not support marijuana legalization. Throughout Latin America, many countries have decriminalized not just the personal possession of marijuana, but of all drugs. In Mexico, the legislature just approved a law that allows the possession of up to 5 grams of marijuana. In Paraguay, it's 10 grams. And in Venezuela, it's 20 grams. Personal possession of marijuana is 20 grams in Venezuela. Anything over that is a felony in Florida. Argentina's Supreme Court and Ecuador's new constitution recognize the rights of citizens to use personal amounts of drugs. Now, I didn't know a whole lot about Latin American drug policy when I started looking into it, but in researching Latin America, what I didn't find was medical marijuana. These countries don't make exceptions to criminal prosecution for marijuana based on specific medical conditions. They simply refuse to prosecute their citizens for being addicts. The reason why a citizen uses marijuana is irrelevant so long as it is a personal amount and they aren't dealing. In America, we have strong majorities that support general medical use of cannabis and tiny majorities that favor outright marijuana legalization, yet our bravest lawmakers have to fight for increasingly restrictive medical bills. In Latin America, they don't even consider medical cannabis and have strong majorities that oppose outright legalization, yet their bravest lawmakers are passing decriminalization of all drugs and legalization of marijuana for all citizens because it is the right public policy. Now, that's most of the radical rant, but I wanted to take a little time here to take a look a little deeper into some of these Latin American laws. It's quite interesting what I found, and you can get this graph that I have made over at the National Cannabis Coalition. I'll switch screens here and see if we can't give you a look at this for those of you watching on the webcams. This is a new graph that I've put together. Now, I've made the marijuana graph many times, but this is the Latin American graph. And where it is dark green, that's where it's going to be legal to possess and grow. Light green is legal to possess, where you're not punished if you have a personal amount. Bright green is the medical. The gold is decriminalized for addicts. And that means where if you have a personal amount, you're still punished in some way, like it's a fine or you have to go to rehab or something like that. But if you have a user amount, you know, usually 5 grams or so, you are not punished. And then, of course, the red countries are going to be the ones that still have severe criminal penalties. Now, starting in the north of Latin America, Estados Unidos, that is United States, we've got medical use in Arizona and New Mexico, and we've got medical and decrim in California, and then we've got severe penalties in Texas and Florida still. Moving on south in Mexico in 2009, April of 2009, Mexico's government approved a new law, the general health law, that decriminalized possession of up to 5 grams of marijuana. There are other user amounts of cocaine, meth, heroin that are allowed for addicts, codified into law. Cuba, Dominican Republic, most of Central America still retains it as a crime, except for Costa Rica. Costa Rica has decriminalized drugs for personal consumption. And again, those personal amounts usually set at the 5 gram level when it's talking about marijuana. As we get to the northern parts of South America, Venezuela in 1993 replaced prison sentences with social security measures for possession of up to 20 grams of cannabis, up to 20 grams in Venezuela. Now, Colombia there in red to Venezuela's left still, of course, maintains severe penalties for all drugs. Ecuador is one of the countries where it's been made legal to possess. A new constitution that was approved by referendum in September of 2008 says the following about drug users: under no circumstances shall their criminalization be permitted, nor their constitutional rights infringed upon. Wow. In Peru, just south, the law on drugs does not punish drug use or drug possession for personal use by imprisonment. There may be fines, rehabs available. South America's largest country, Brazil, in 2006 law introduced important changes in the country's drug legislation as it depenalized consumption and rejected incarceration for drug users, even in cases involving repeat offenses. Moving south, we find in Paraguay, a new drug law in 1988 exempted from punishment those in possession of a maximum of 2 grams of cocaine or heroin and 10 grams of marijuana for personal consumption. And then nearby, the long coastal nation of Chile, we find the law does not prohibit personal and private consumption of any drug, although it does penalize consumption in groups. It does not establish a threshold for quantity, and the distinction between trafficking and consumption is left to the discretion of a judge. Imagine judges having discretion. Then further over on to the Atlantic coast, Argentina, in August of 2009, Argentina's Supreme Court declared in a landmark ruling that it is unconstitutional to prosecute citizens for having drugs for their personal use. No prosecution for personal use. And then, of course, the big story, Uruguay. Uruguay's lower house late Wednesday approved a sweeping bill to legalize marijuana. Under the bill, which could become law as early as this month, people would be allowed to grow marijuana in their homes, limited to 6 plants per household. They would also be permitted to form cooperatives, allowed to cultivate 99 plants. In addition, private companies could grow marijuana under the bill, though their harvest could be bought only by the government, which would market the drug in licensed pharmacies. And that is to keep them in line with international treaties. Hey, folks, that's all the time we got here. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for the last Toker Talk Radio for at least the summer. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.